Thank you, Lord, to be in your presence, Lord. That grace that flows like a river washes over me. Thank you, Jesus, you set me free. And then Christ, my Savior, he's rescued me. You've been rescued today? I have. And like this one where it says, you've given me life. But what about this one? You've opened my eyes. And see, that's the thing with that of God. When we receive Christ, your eyes open. And all of a sudden you look at things like a lot differently, don't you? And it's like, wow. And a lot of that is the things we see, the differences in the world compared to the things of what the kingdom of God is about. And so when our eyes are opened, we see these things and it's like, oh my goodness, I used to be like that. Or I lived in that. Or I carried on like that. Anybody looked at that and said, oh my goodness, I've carried on like those people over there in the corner, you know, or those people out there in the world. That, yes. But he opened my eyes. He entered my heart. And that's the thing of a heart change. Get your eyes opened. Begin to have your heart changed. And then his word says to begin to think on these things as him. To renew your mind. And these are all steps of developing and growing in that of God, right? And if we don't do those steps, we're not going to go very far. We're not going to achieve all that God has for us because we're going to be muddled down in the things that we still came out of. And that's the thing that when we come out of those things, you need to shake them off. Shake off those heavy hands, heavy chains, whatever it might be. And there's a lot to that. And you got to shake those things off of your life to come to that where God has you now. And you got to believe that you have changed. Many of us don't think we've changed, even by saying, oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. You sent him to die for me. He is my Savior. And by his blood, I'm cleansed of my sins. And we say those things, but you've got to understand and you got to realize that what you're saying is true. Okay? It's true. It's not just something that church comes up with and says, let's say this, and I hope it makes you feel good. Generally, when you come under that in the trueness of an open heart and an open mind and say, here I am, Jesus, you will feel a weight lifted off of you. And you will sense a difference from the time you said that prayer to the time you end it. And then you have that sensation of something has happened in my life. And I need to explore it more. And we begin to explore more of it by what? Digging into his word and following his word and wanting to hear from him. I want to hear from him by that of the Holy Spirit. I want to hear from him by the written word so that when I read his word, that the Spirit enlightens it to me and that I can get excited about it. Excited about his word. How do you get excited? It's like, how do you get excited by just reading something in black and white? Or how about red and white? Jesus' words. And so that's that whole thing. And you've got to do your part. He's come and cleansed you and taken the sin from you and covered that and washed it out. And no, it's not longer covered. It's washed as white as snow. But you have got to do your part. Amen? You don't just come to him and say, here I am. I've done this. Now what? It's like, okay, brother or sister, now what is what? You got to get up and get going. And you got to begin to serve him. You got to begin to learn him. You got to begin to praise him. You got to begin to look at him in every aspect of your life from then on. Amen? Amen. Well, I believe that. Let's see. What do we got to talk about today? Oh, something you guys already know. Something you know. Now we're going to go into John 16. Lord, I pray that this word is not my word. This word is your word. For we read it out of Scripture, Lord, and those words in Scripture are truly those of yours given divinely to men to put in writings, Lord. And so I share these words, Lord, that are not mine. For, Lord, my words have no power. My words can't change anything, but your words can. Your words do have power. Your words do change things. And we thank you for them. So let your word go forth today into the hearts, into our spiritual ears. Help our understanding. Help us receive out of it, Lord, what we need to receive, so that, Lord, we will be stronger, more capable, more able to take on this time in our life than ever before because of you in us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to take on this time. Amen. How about you? I want to take it on with all of the gusto and the strength and the vitality of God. Not that I'm God, but God is in me through the Holy Spirit. I want to be used by him to bring something of some help to someone that needs to hear something positive. I want to be able to help someone get out of the mire, that miry clay. I want to be of a help to put them on the foundation of that of Christ, on a stone, amen, that's always there. But we've got to be able to do that, and we've got to understand this. In John 16:33, yes, last week I was in like 15:4 and talking about just stay in me and I'll be in you. What better thing? You know, we remember that, or 15:4 or something. What was it? No, 15:4. 15:4, where it says, abide in me and I in you. I hope you've abided in him this week, because if you have abided in him, he's in you. And we need to do that, because now where we're going into 16:33, and I guess you know, just keep reading through that whole true vine, the branches, talks about the world's hatred, comes about the coming persecution or rejections of things and working of the Holy Spirit in 16. And well, anyway, I got into 16:33, and I found some excitement there. Anybody find excitement in his word when you read it? Even though you read it already 50 times? And sometimes when it just hits you, and it's like it maybe 25 times back, it hit me the same way. But that's why it's important to keep going through and soaking up his word, especially in the times that we live in. You hear enough of the world stuff to continually bombard you and to get into your spirit man, to get your spirit man depressed, to begin to believe that I'm defeated, even though a child of God, we sometimes end up thinking about, I'm defeated. Well, we're not defeated. Hallelujah. We are just beginning. Thank you, my Father. So in John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you. Well, what are those things? And it talks about in John 16:25 that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Our Lord and Savior has overcome the world so far one time. Is he coming back? He's going to overcome the world again. Amen. Anyway, he says, these things I've spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. Aren't you glad that somebody speaks plainly to you? Doesn't sugarcoat it. Doesn't tickle your ears. Tells you what you need to know. Tells you what you need to change. Not in this verbiage here, but other parts of the Bible. It tells you guys and gals what you need to change, what you need to move away from the life that you had in the past into the what the kingdom of God is about, that we have got to change and begin to follow a different criteria of living in his kingdom. We're not going to get into that, but like I say, you can find things in the Bible that tells you what you need to begin to adjust and change. And if you don't do those things sometimes, he says, if you don't do that, you're not mine. That'll put your brakes on. Happy-go-lucky Christian. Da-da-da. I'm so good. I'm doing things great. I'm this. I'm that. God loves me. I love him. Life is good. Then they begin to read some of these scriptures, and it starts eye-popping things. It's like, what? But we're not going to get there today, because I think we want to get into the victory of overcoming the world. But really, to be able to get into that area of overcoming the world, like Jesus has overcome, is we've got to change our life. We got to change our ways. We got to accept him, accept his word for what it is, his word. And we got to allow it to get into us and adjust us. A lot of us, and all of us, need to be fine-tuned. Anybody had to tune in a radio, tune in your TV and all that? I mean, my goodness. I get so frustrated now because of when we get into this digital phase that we're all into, It's great. It gives you sharp pictures, but they'll tell you, you either have it or you don't. And I've been watching a digital TV station out of Madison, and something happens, and it's gone because of atmospheric conditions. Back in the day of analog, we just got fuzzy stuff. Things were just like wavy. And you go put aluminum foil on your antenna, like that was going to do good. But we've got to be right on, spot on with that of God. And we've got to allow him to adjust us to not to what we want to be set at, but to adjust us to what he wants us to be set at in honoring him and serving him. But anyway, we go on through this that Jesus has said he has overcome the world. Now, as I get to this, it says that in verse 20, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again, and I leave the world and I go to the Father. And then his disciples in 29 says to him, well, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Duh. Finally. But hey, they got it, okay? Takes some of us a little while to get that to God, right? How long has he been in your life and you're still going, duh, duh, you know? So we find this out, and Jesus says, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has come now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. How many times do you feel you're alone in this world? There's a few times. It's like, I feel like I'm just alone. I'm in this all by myself. But we come to find out we're not alone, right? Abide in me, and I in you. He's with us throughout these things and these times if we just recognize it and stay with him. And then verse 33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace, but in the world you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer. And here it is. I have overcome the world. It tells me, because I live with Christ in me, that I too can overcome the things in this world. Not by my power, not by my might, but by him in me, by the power of the Holy Spirit in me that I've surrendered myself to say, lead me, guide me, have me, use me. With that ability, but he says, Tim, you're still going to have tribulations. Really? You're going to have pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress? Anybody understand any of those words in your life? Afflictions? It says, imagine placing your hand on the stack of loose items, manually compressing them. A lot of pressure on that which is free and unfettered. This tribulation is like spiritual bench pressing. The word is used of crushing grapes or olives in a press. I've never been to one, but I've seen them used in the power of a press. I've seen a press used in pressing a bearing into some kind of a automotive or a truck type bearings, or, you know, pressing the bearings. You put that thing in there and pull that press, and that thing just pushes it down and exerts pounds and pounds of pressure. But I'm counting it good cheer that I've got anguish, and I got stress, and I got adversity, and I feel like I'm crushed. I've got afflictions, but I'm of good cheer. And that's where I've shared many times before, I believe, and myself included, I've got to do this, that when you're dealing with that type of tribulation things, is you need to be what? Count it all joy. So when you're counting it all joy, is it this? Oh, great God, I'm a child of God and I've got this. I got this stress. You're putting this on me? Oh, great. I thought I was going to have it easy. This is crazy. Or do I answer it this way? God, I'm under an affliction. I'm under stress. But I love you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Joy. Joy, joy. Now, if we can respond in that way, it's mirroring what he is saying here. And it's hard to mirror the things that he says in our lives, but he's saying these things. But we've got to count it all joy when you're going through tribulations. Some of that is for that of what? The testing of your faith. How faithful are you? There's a lot of us in our churches that are very faithful and everything's going good. Oh, I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. Everything's great. Ha, ha, ha. Praise God. Hallelujah. And some kind of a distress comes along and an anxiety comes along and affliction comes along. And pretty soon we're crying.
Why me?
Crying does not sound like count it all joy. It takes time to count it all joy. I'm not saying just cavalier. But it takes time with the Lord. It takes time in His Word. It takes a lot of time just being with Him in the Spirit, or just walking day by day in constant conversations with God, praising Him, worshiping Him, thanking Him, telling Him you love Him. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. It takes a lot of that to build you up into those areas to where when that tribulation comes that you can count it all joy. And I know that whatever the timing is that the Lord has in that, He will be with me while I'm going through it. Well, how can He be with somebody that's going through pain and medical problems and things of that nature? I don't know, but all I know is His Word says He will never leave me nor forsake me. You either believe it or you don't. It's not a wishy-washy thing, but I'm counting it all joy. Because the one thing I know is I'm not by myself. My Lord is with me. He's picking me up. He's keeping me going. He's giving me the strength. He's persevering. Whatever the case might be, I just have to remember to what? Not give up, not give in, but be in joy to that of my Lord, because we just talked about it. And we're going to get into this. I have overcome the world. Now, in the Amplified, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. Perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations. I'm glad I've never been frustrated. Maybe you guys have.
Oh, boy.
But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer is this. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. Stand your ground. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. When the going gets tough, you stand. His Word tells us, when all else fails, run. Oh, wait. I don't think it says that. When all else fails, complain. No. When all else fails, what am I to do but stand? Stand. Stand where He has you, but stand. For I have overcome the world, and it's this. I have deprived the world of its power to harm you, and I have conquered the world for you. Sink in, Lord. I pray, sink it into our spirit. That you have deprived the world of the power to harm me, and you have conquered the world for me. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Oh, why so downcast? Oh, you Christians, put your hope in God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father. So even in the midst of persecution, there is joyful peace in the certainty of Christ's victory. Now, we're going through adversity, afflictions, and things, but sometimes we have to begin to think like He overcame the world back at the time when He was here, and He's in heaven, but He's coming back. He will overcome the world again. And we're going to be children of His, and we're going to have jobs or tasks to do. Whatever He's going to do, how He's going to deal with it, how He's going to deal with us if we're here when He comes back, you know, I don't know where, what, how. But all I know, as a child of God, He's going to come back, and I trust He'll find me faithful, and He'll have something for me to do. Or He'll take me out of this, or He'll protect me, or He'll do this, whatever it will be. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not mine, you see. Something interesting in some of those songs that are sung, if you just pick up a few words here and there. The future is not mine. other than I know my future, because it says here that I will be going to heaven, for Jesus has prepared a place for me, for all of those that are his. That's why the world is so depressed. They don't know what tomorrow holds for them. Oh, they don't know. What's going to happen? Jobs, what's going to happen? Economy, what's going to happen? You know, had a bank fold up on the West Coast there. Not that it's going to be majorly in all the banks, but it just shows you these things that people live and all these things that could garner their attention to, like, how do I put my hope in him? You got to. So even in the midst of persecution, there's a joyful peace and the certainty of Christ's victory. Jesus, he has just told his disciples to take courage even in times of struggles and that they would not be alone. Today, we have that same assurance. Do you sense that same assurance for you? Yes, you should. We can claim the peace of Christ in our times of struggle. Go through the struggle. I'm not saying you're not going to go through the struggle, because Jesus said you're going to go through it. But even during those struggles, that's when we got to have or really muster up that peace and be strong and be knowing that I don't like this. I don't like this stress. I don't like this anxiety, Lord. Lord, let me learn something from it if I am to do that. But Lord, I know you're with me. Please, Lord, let it be short-lived. Bring it through fast. I'd much rather do that than let it be elongated. And it's sad to say, sometimes it's an elongated process. I don't understand that. You need to ask God about that. We can go over to Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. It states this: yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This message today is to tell you that you can succeed, that you can conquer those battles, that you can overcome whatever the enemy puts before you. Amen? We've got to have that mentality. If we have the mentality of, oh, well, it's just another day in, you know, the kingdom. It's just what's going to happen, you know. The devil will just continue to just bombard you and hit you and do all of these things. But if he sees that when he attacks you and puts these things before you, I believe sometimes the way we respond initially will either allow or give the devil permission to continue beating us down, or the devil will say there's no use. He or she is such a strong child of God that I'm not making any headway. I'm going to go to somebody else. Because there's a lot more people out there. And this is not dealing a lot with that of the world. This is dealing with the people of within his church. The Christian, the person, the individuals that should be strong in faith and strong in his word and strong in his understanding. That's where the enemy wants to battle. He wants to destroy you. Because you, individually, are the church. He wants to destroy a corporate body, because the corporate body is that of the kingdom of God. And so we as Christians need to be reading, especially these things of Jesus, to be strong in our faith and to be standing in our churches and to be standing as an individual church, because I am the temple of God. The Holy Spirit resides in here. The devil wants to destroy anything that God has his print on. Why did he come to the garden? To destroy what God what? Created. To go against what God told Adam. And Adam didn't take very well care of his wife. And his wife ended up, you know, the whole story. But it all goes back. The devil wants to destroy and disrupt. Here you go. You guys understand this terminology now. The devil wants to destroy and upset the supply chain. The world's supply chain is, I can't get my chips. Both potato chips and chips for your car, whatever the case might be. We had a very understanding that when the supply chain gets disrupted, things don't go. Man makes cars, but they can't go, so we put them on a lot somewhere, and we got 10,000 cars and 10,000 cars. Man can keep building things, but they don't work. What's that tell you about man and God? So the devil comes in early on, and he wants to destroy the supply chain that God has put together. And he destroys that supply chain by that of sin and by getting into our thoughts And those that are a child or of God, he wants to destroy these things so that we don't get the supply chain that God has for us to have an abundant life. To have shalom. I keep my post-it notes from way, way back when I talked about shalom. Here's the supply chain that God has for us. And the devil wants to disrupt it. Shalom. Completeness. Shalom means wholeness. It means health. It means peace and welfare. Shalom is safety and soundness. Tranquility. Perfectness. Perfect or perfectness. A fullness. Shalom, rest, harmony. Here's the big one. The absence of agitation or discord. That's the supply chain of God. Where do you see the devil in those? I don't see the devil in anything there. Oh, I see that he wants to disrupt my peace. Oh, I see he wants to take away my fullness or my rest or my harmony. I see all of that. See the devil for who he is and what he wants to do. See God for who he is and how he freely gave and gives and loves you and has grace for you and has mercy for you. Amen. Man is just now learning about the supply chain shortages or disruptions. Now that I think of it, and this just hit me just this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you for the Spirit. Boom! Did you hear it hit my head? Might have heard some things clatter a little bit in my head. You can't rattle your head and you hear some things clanging. Oh, yes, Lord! He says, tell my children, the devil wants to destroy their supply chain. The things that come out of heaven. The things that I have in my kingdom to bring down to them on earth. But you can destroy the devil by just staying with me because what? Jesus overcame the world for us, and we can overcome those things as well with him in us. Be in me, and I in you. Stay close to Jesus, and Jesus stays close to you. Go off and do your own thing. Jesus lets you run. Okay, fool, go ahead. But I'll be here when you figure out and you hit your head against the wall enough. Come back because of my mercy and my grace. But anyway, let's continue on. Oh, did we ever get to Romans 8:37? I guess we did. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, there's the thing. You cannot hardly read any verbiage through the Bible without that four-letter word appears a lot. What is it? L-O-V-E. Love. Love. The devil wants to disrupt love. In the new century, it says, but in all these things, we are completely victorious through God who showed his love for us. Remember that old thing that came out years ago? God is love. God is love. But it's getting that information out there that you are loved. You are loved right in the sin that you're doing. Not that he loves the sin you're doing, but he loves you as an individual. The devil, he doesn't love you. He just wants to destroy you by keeping you in that sin. Where the Word of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit convicts us of these things and says, run from it. Change your life. Change your focus. Change your living. And when you begin to do that, the supply chain of God, completeness and wholeness and health and peace and rest and harmony in the absence of agitation or discord. It's hard to stay in shalom. But you got to work on it. But these are things that shalom is about. We look at this in that particular area in the Romans in verses 35 on down. It says in 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it goes on and says in verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's what confuses a lot of people. It's like, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? So as we go through all these things, tribulations and distress and persecutions, the love of Christ is still there. And he's going to go and help us. It's hard. It's not fun, I'm sure, to be persecuted. It's not fun to be martyred. It's not fun to be, you know, on your knees with your head out and they chop it off because of your faith. But there's something much better than that. And that's that eternity to where we go that God has prepared. And for the world to understand that, they think we're kind of cuckoo. Because you're saying, well, how do you know? Well, I would ask them, how do you not know? I would rather be thinking this way and it works than to think like it's foolish and it does work, but you're not there. We've got to understand what God's word is saying. Life is not going to be easy. Holding on to your faith is not going to be easy. Holding on to your joy and cheer and joyfulness is not going to be easy. We know that. But I can't discount that I also know that my God says that he's always with me. He will see me through it. He will see you through it. We have got to trust him. So when we get into this thing here of, read this here. So as I read through that, this verse or these verses is one of the most comforting promises in God's word. Believers have always had to face hardships in one form or another. Persecutions, illnesses. And when we face that hardship, we may feel that Christ has abandoned us. And we sometimes hear that, like, I don't know why he's not with me. What's he punishing me for? But Paul shares that it is impossible to be separated from Christ. His death for us is proof of his love for us. Nothing can separate us from Christ's presence. You know, that word you had today, Dawn, you shared. It had to do with a lot. His presence with us here. He's here with us. He's there with you out in the world and in your job. Nothing can separate us from Christ, or us from Christ's presence. God tells us how great his love is so that we will feel secure in him. If we believe what the scripture is telling us, we will have overwhelming assurance that we will be victorious. What's this about more than conquerors? How could we look at that a little bit more? So the whole word coming together is like a couple of words put together, but let's just get to the information here. Over and above, to conquer, the word describes one who is super victorious, who wins more than an ordinary victory, but who is overpowering in achieving abundant victory. So it's not just a little incidental victory here, a little incidental victory here. These are some major victories, some major battles. But it's who is overpowering in achieving abundant victory. This is not the language of conceit, but of confidence. Christ's love conquered death. And because of his love, we are more than conquerors. It's all that took place on the cross. Thank God for the cross. We can all look and focus back to that and what victory was gained upon the cross. You know, throughout times, the devil thought he succeeded. He thought he succeeded when he had Eve eat that apple or fruit or whatever it was. He thought he had succeeded when the baby Jesus was born and Herod wanted to kill the baby. Thought he had that taken care of. Then he got grown up and the devil thought he succeeded by having Jesus hang on the cross and die. I'm sure the devil was high-fiving himself. But each one of those had a different outcome. And it totally surprised that of the devil. And so now the devil, you know, he knows he's defeated. I mean, Jesus rose again. We're coming into the Easter season. But he rose again and he's at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us because he loves us. Interceding for us. Talk to Jesus. Oh, and Jesus, help me, Lord, you know. But we have the victory. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, wrapping it up, well, a couple more. 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says this: "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amplified says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ." You are going to conquer whatever battle you're dealing with right now. May not be tomorrow, might be next month, 2 months. I don't know how long the longevity of the battle will be. I don't know how long you've been already in the battle, but I am telling you this. I believe God's word, and I believe the things that I'm reading here, that I am still victorious. Even going through the battle, I am victorious. We can look at this even through situations in life, that I am victorious. No matter what it is. You've got to tell yourself that, though. You've got to keep reminding yourself, because as a man and as a woman, we sometimes forget that. We sometimes just look at what we're dealing with, and sometimes when we've been in it for so long, that's all we see. It's just this. We got tunnel vision. We're just looking at this trouble and this problem I've had for the last 5 years, 3 years, whatever. But I got to get it back from that. I got to stand and get the big picture. And somewhere in here, Lord, there's a victory. I don't know where it's at, but I believe in a victory, Lord. And I'll stand with you, and you'll stand with me to get me there. The resurrection of Christ brings victory over sin, over law, and over death. The resurrection. See, and this, we're getting into that time of the season with Easter and all of that. You know, yes, the crucifying of Christ. But he rose. The victory that he rose. And he's there. But thanks be to God who gave us or gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And one last area to look, 1 John 5. And when I look at 1 John 5:4, "For whatever is born of God does what?" What's yours? Anybody got a Bible open? For New King James or King James, whatever you got. "For whatever is born of God," blank the world, "overcomes." Can you say that again louder? Overcome. Can we all say that together louder? Overcomes. It was okay. Sounds like some people had doubt. Overcome. Overcome. No! Overcome! Overcome. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord." Oh, I already read that. Oh, that was a good one to read. We reread 1 Corinthians. Let's go, Tim. 1 John. "But whoever is born of God," I got to be born of God. Amen? Christ has to be my Lord. Reborn, rebirth. That's the part that's got to be first. "But God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our doubt. Isn't that great? Our doubt will overcome the world? No, our faith. Check me out. Check me out. I could be a heretic. I could try to get you guys coerced into believing like I go to the church of doubt. It says with doubt, everything's good with God. With doubt, God does, he loves people that doubt. No. You got to have the belief and the trust and the faith. The faith. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our or your faith. See, there's working pieces in God's plan in your lives. It's not just a one thing done deal and all that. The one thing, of course, is salvation, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I remember early on, it was like, you got to begin to unpack these things that God has for you. And you got to be walking in them, not just looking at them. You've got to be what? Walking in them, not just looking at them in the scriptures to say, that's good. Oh, I got faith. Yeah, that's great. Then a problem comes up. Oh, God, how am I going to get through this? I don't know what's going to happen. What's going on? By faith. This situation will have a good outcome by faith. I'm going to stand strong by faith. God's going to answer my prayer, and I pray, hopefully by that of the will of God, that what I need and what I have a desire for, or whatever is necessary, that God has that by His will. Let His will be done in my situation. But our faith, it is so important. New Century Version. Loving God, some people don't like this, means obeying His commands. What? You mean I gotta obey that guy? And God's commands are not too hard for us. You hear people say, I can't serve God, it's just too hard. Well, no. The devil tells you it's too hard because the devil wants to keep you right where you're at, and you're silly enough to listen to the devil. And God's commands are not too hard for us, it says, because everyone who is a child of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world. What is the victory that conquers us? Our faith. It's how we can stand strong in the things of God to know that we're standing with Him, that He's standing with us, and we're going to do battle. You are not on, you know, we're not in a theme park at, you know, some of these theme parks where everything's fun. Life in this world is not a theme park of, oh boy, it's happy times. This is a theme park of there's struggles, there's battles, there's situations, there's things that you've got to deal with, there's things that you've got to battle. And the best thing is don't battle them on your own, but battle them with the great battler, God. He says, I will go before you, Tim. Okay, Lord, that's a battle. You go first, I'll follow, I'll bring up the rear. He goes, you don't have to do that, Tim. I'm before you, I'm beside you, I'm behind you. I'm just walking in the bubble. The bubble. God. I want to walk in my life with you all around me. But it takes sacrifice on my part. We bring the sacrifice of praise. Is that really a big hard sacrifice? To praise Him and to worship Him and to sing unto Him? Not really. We can all come up with someone a real sacrifice would be. But He just wants to hear us. Worship Him. Sing unto Him. In the midst of the battle, in the midst of your struggle. If you would look back when you're going through it, how many of you sang a joyful noise to the Lord? Or were you singing a grumbling, complaining, somebody done somebody wrong song? I don't know how this works, guys. I don't know either. But God just, I'm trusting it's God. But here again, I'm going to tell you, some of these words and verses and sentences and some of these secular songs, you can go back to, and it sounds like right on, like a message for that of God or that of the devil. But am I singing the victory song? Or am I singing a complaining song? Stop crying and blubbering. Grow up in that of Christ. Amen? Be growing in maturity. Get off of the milk. Get on to the meat. That's what will sustain you. Marissa said that because Marissa, she's going, yeah, that's right, because I'm starting to get on solid foods. Thank you, Marissa. That was cute. Oh, Father. Here's one. I'm going to have one more. Just New Living says this. Loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world. Every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. See, when we go through a struggle, not only is God watching how we handle it, the devil is too. And he's wanting to see, what's your faith muscles, Tim? Talk a good talk, but where are you at? And it's the realization that we've got to have faith and be in faith. Well, this, my shoulder, it still hurts, or my leg, or my tummy, or this, or my head, or whatever the case is. Or I don't have enough of this, or my money, or my job might be questionable. Or I don't know, all of these things that we could throw out as far as causing these things. But you have to walk in faith and say, God, it's all yours. It's yours. I'm just a steward of it. God is your source. But, you know, you'll go through life and there's things that come up and you just have to turn it over to God and say, I don't know how this is going to work. I'm going to do my part. We got to do our part. You just don't hand it up to God saying, here's the situation, God. Take care of it wholly. holy, not holy, H-O-L, but W-H-O, holy, take care of all this. Because God will say, you take care of this part and I'll take care of that part. But I trust and thank God for that. And I'm sure you guys have, but if not, I hope you begin to see how God handles and takes care of you. Please understand that with Christ, you have the victory. You have the ability to overcome whatever is going on in your life with that of the help of God. Trust Him on His timing, not yours. Continue to worship and praise Him during the struggle. And when the victory comes about, be sure to say, thank you, Lord. Praise you again, Father God, for how you have stepped in. And how because of you've overcome the world, and through you, Lord, I too can overcome situations in my life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the opportunities that you bestow upon us. I pray, Lord, that we're able to bring honor and glory to you, Lord, in the times that are going good, as well as in the times that are going not so good. That, Father, we recognize and realize that you're there with us through thick and thin. And I'm so happy and thankful, Lord, that I know that you're there with me and that you're here with each and every one of us. I pray that you'll go with us, Lord, this week. Let your honor and glory be around us. Let us show you to those around us by that of the light of love. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.